Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Wisdom Walk here on Black Hole Radio. I am your host and guide, Jojoba Maria Nsoroma. And tonight, I am going to continue sharing some wisdom and insights from the mega blockbuster movie, Black Panther, on my segment that I call Enlightenment in a Movie. But before I get started, I'd like you to know that in addition to listening to this show through your computer or other gadgets that access the internet, you may listen to the live broadcast and or call into the show at this number. It's area code 563-999-3089. Again, 563-999-8389. Also, the web link that's provided on my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio, and through a constant contact email that I send out. that serves as an archive link. So if you're unable to listen live, you can listen later. And I also wanted to share that, because I was with someone who was trying to access it through an iPhone or a mobile device like that, and they had it start playing, but they wanted to forward it. And when they tried to do that, it kind of automatically jumped to another Black Hole Radio broadcast link. So it doesn't seem, or at the time, it doesn't seem like you can forward it on a mobile device, or maybe it didn't download enough for the forward to happen. But if you have any problem, just know that if you try to forward it, it might jump to another broadcast. And so it may seem like you're not able to access the broadcast. But what you can do is just go back in your phone, however you do that, go back a page or two, and you should be able to access it. And if, again, you have any problem, please let me know on my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio. Now, a little bit about what Wisdom Walk is. It is a personal development resource for your mind, body, and soul. My ministry is any pain that is not transformed will be transferred. So the essential goal of my shows is to support listeners with learning how to recognize and release any pain that is blocking fulfillment in life, or what I like to call having your happy endings in life. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and that will be 5 p.m. Pacific Time, I broadcast live, and the show will be repeated Monday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:30 p.m. Pacific. So now I invite you to sit or lay back and join me for an exploration of the inner landscape using the movie Black Panther, where you can connect to your soul and discover the true treasure of being human. And just a reminder that 2018 is a nature year. This is a year of radical endings, radical beginnings, and magical change. And I will mention that again. As always on my show, I like to start off by honoring the ancestors. And this month is Women's History Month. And so I'm thinking about all the female ancestors, all the women who lived and existed and gave birth so that there could be more humans on the planet, who have struggled with oppression and being treated as second-class citizens and unfairly and, you know, all of that stuff, but who continue to find a way to create gender equality on this planet. And so every woman who came before those of us who are alive today has made great contribution to where we're at today and what it is that we're doing to uncover the truth about abuse in all its forms and to really be able to step into living our happy endings as women. So just take a moment and think about the women who were in your life but are no longer there, who are now ancestors, whether they were grandmothers, great-grandmothers, mothers, aunts, sisters, cousins, teachers, friends, and all the women. And just tell them thank you. Thank you, thank you for being in your life. And as I understand ancestors, even those women that may have been neglectful or harmful to you, you also want to thank them because your soul has grown as a result of both the good and the bad that you have experienced in life. And so ancestors, female ancestors especially, we are calling out to you, and we are honoring you for your having given birth to having born the people on the planet. And even those who didn't give birth played some role some role in affecting the lives of children. And so we honor you, and we thank you, and we ask you to guide us forward on this new earth where we are stepping toward gender equality. We're stepping toward women not being objects for sexual intents or any form of violence and oppression. Continue to guide us to have the courage, the strength, the willingness, and the belief that we can get there, that we can step into a higher consciousness about who we are as men and women. And so, ancestors, we thank you. We thank you, and we say, Creator, thank you for giving us the support of the ancestors for our journey here on this earth plane. And I want to say thank you, Creator, in the name of all that is holy. I say amen. Asheya ho'asashi kabizrilad. So it is. So it is. Now, since we're talking about ancestors, the persons on the planet who are closest to the land of the ancestors in the way that the ancestors, that the older people are, is our young people. So I want to just take a moment and acknowledge all of the youth and children who marched against gun violence over the weekend and who demonstrated that children are not disposable, that they have value and that they are very important in our communities and in our lives. They are our future. And those of us who are adults have to really, really take this serious, that we need to be able to protect our children, and not a quick fix, because we know that putting guns in the school and even having security measured in the school has not worked. So we need to go at this from a more sourceful, where this gun violence is rooted. And that's a combination of having better control over weaponry in this country, but it's really about why are we not taking care of children who would come into a school or in any public place and just start shooting. These are people in deep pain, and why are we not identifying them and working with them and helping them before it gets out of hand. So I just want to say thank you to all the youth and children who, you know, gave their time and energy and talents and gifts to raise all of our consciousness about gun violence. Ashe. So now I'm going to share with you some elemental wisdom and some astrological forecasts for the week. There is so much going on. I can't tell you. It's just, it's so loaded. It is so loaded. It's just amazing. Absolutely. So I'm going to start out with our astrological forecast, our elemental forecast for the week. And let me just open this up again. Tomorrow begins the elemental week. It starts on a Monday this year because January 1st landed on a Monday. And because it's the 26th, we are moving into a water week. And this is all about peacemaking. So the opportunity this week is about becoming peaceful. And that's, of course, from the inside out. Get still and meditate and contemplate. Reconcile any negative feelings by acknowledging them, feeling the pain, and cleansing it by focusing on what is positive in your life right now. Get yourself into or nearby flowing water and allow the purifying energy of the water element to free you from feelings of anger, resentment, judgment, fear, and anything else that is disruptive and distracting to the fulfillment of your annual commitments. Remember, God is breathing you. Call upon the divine love to free your mind. Call on the peace. So this is really important because there's just a lot of stuff going on, and I think it's really easy for us to forget that we can choose to be peaceful, that we can choose to let go of the negativity, the anger, the judgment. We can let go of anything that would disrupt and distract us from what our true commitments are, especially for this year. So here are some distractions. Ignoring or sedating your pain, whether that's physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever. If you try to ignore it or hide it or run from it, you're just going to make it grow bigger. That does not get rid of it. You're going to have to confront it and sit in it in order to let it go. Telling yourself that your problems can wait, again, trying to not deal with them, not a good idea. They're not going to go away simply because you want to put them on your time schedule rather than dealing with the time schedule that they're showing up on. Not a good thing to do this week. Attempting to change someone, you know. And anytime we're doing that means that we don't want to really deal with ourselves. So, again, you're not going to get to peacemaking by trying to be in charge of somebody else's stuff. You're only going to get there by being in charge of your stuff. Blaming others for how you are choosing to feel about yourself. And we all know that. It's so easy to blame somebody else for what you're feeling, thinking, believing, doing. Again, it's a very useless activity. It is not going to free you up. So don't go down that road. Really point the finger at you and ask yourself, okay, what is this about for me? What's going on for me? And last but not least, using anger, rage, or judgment to protect yourself from other people's pain. That's a good one. We just don't need to take on somebody else's stuff. And so when we are in that anger, that rage, that judgment, it feels like we're protecting ourselves from other people's pain, but we're really just participating in it. We're taking it on. So just let it go. Let go of all of that anger and rage. And if you can't do it by yourself, call on the ancestors, call on your God. But choose and be willing to have it removed from you so that, again, you can focus on yourself. Don't give your power away by making it be about somebody else. So that's the water opportunity and distractions that are coming up for you this week through next Sunday, which will be April the 1st, which will be Easter. Yeah. So we're flowing into, and this is considered Holy Week, I believe, in some religions. So it makes sense that this would be a water week leading up to a day of resurrection. Yes, yes, yes. Can't make this stuff up. So, and I will say this again, I am going to be observing the Holy Day of Easter next Sunday, so I will not be broadcasting live. I will do a repeat, probably of this show, but I will return on the following Sunday of April the 8th. And so next week will be a fire week, and give you a little heads up with that since I won't be broadcasting live. It's going to be about being truthful with yourself and others. And it's also a time, again, to call on the ancestors to support you in getting clear and choosing to let go of confusion so that you can really, really allow your inner authentic self to be in charge of your life. So it's all about getting to the truth, telling yourself the truth. It starts there. So now let's go on to some of the astrological stuff that's going on. Oh, my God, it's so huge. In January, we had eclipses, solar and lunar, and we also had two full moons. In March, we had one eclipse, but we're definitely having two full moons. And so on next Saturday, March the 31st, we are going to have a full blue moon, and it's going to be in the sign of Libra. Now, Libra is all about beauty, love life, finances, and balancing. You know, when you see the symbol for Libra, you'll see the scales, all about keeping all of that stuff in balance. And it's also about seeking peace. So this is really interesting, the synchronicity of the peacemaking of the water week and this full moon in Libra showing up. No coincidences in the universe. Like, really, messages come to us about the importance of that. So what this means is, because this full moon is also doing a T-square, for those of you who know astrology, you know what I mean, with Mars and Saturn in Capricorn and Libra's ruler, Venus, in Taurus. So you may find yourself dealing with intense emotions regarding your love life and your finances. Again, we are in a nature year, radical endings, beginnings, and magical change. So, of course, this kind of disruptive energy would be showing up. A question to ask yourself, and again, I'm getting this from my astrologer that I really like, Barbara Goldsmith, but she says to ask yourself, you know, what's out of balance? What's out of balance in regards to your relationships, especially your intimate relationships, your love relationships, and your finances? And, of course, all of that definitely is about what's out of balance with inside of you, within your center, what's out of balance. And to, you know, contemplate that so that you can shift it. Another interesting thing is that we're in a time right now where there are 7 of the 10 planets in cardinal signs. And cardinal signs are kind of like, you know, the action sign. And so we're going to be really tempted to take action on relationships and finances, but we are also in a Mercury retrograde, which started on March 22nd, and that goes until April 15th. Now, the retrograde time is a time to kind of chill, to slow down, step back, you know, kind of wait things out, wait and see. It's not a time to, like, push forward. That's why you'll hear about don't sign contracts and all of this stuff, if you can avoid it. When Mercury's retrograde, you'll also find that technological gadgets, computers, even phones, and things kind of will give you some problems. Like, they won't be as cooperative as you may need them to be. I had that experience on Friday. So, again, in the big message is, like, you know, just take a chill, just wait. So you know, that energy of all the planets, majority of planets being in cardinal signs, and then a Mercury retrograde laid on top of that, you know, it's going to feel like you're in the car and you got your foot on the gas, but the emergency brake is on. You know, so you're going to be feeling a little bit of that frustration, but just remind yourself that the way the universe works, it's all about right timing. And the way we know it's right timing is because it's in flow. We experience a flow. There isn't a struggle. It's not a foot on the brake and the emergency brake is on, you know. So, you know, good advice is to, if you're in that mode around anything, especially your relationships and finances, if you're in that kind of mode, that kind of tension, just chill out. Just wait. Just let things unfold because, you know, again, it's all about right timing. So sometimes we get held up for reasons we can't understand at the time, and then later on we realize, oh, that's why I had to wait. So, and just to throw another astronomical thing on you, Mars is conjunct to Saturn, so that's another big reminder about slowing down and enjoying the moment, like just like chill. So from another forecaster I like, her name is Lena Stevens, she says, the theme for this moon is balance. It's a good time to reflect on what is in balance and what feels out of balance. She also reminds us to practice gratitude and ask for support. She also says, include prayers for all your relations as balance is sorely needed everywhere. And last but not least, if you are feeling out of sorts, if you are just like, what is going on? I'm just jittery. I can't rest. What's going on? I'm feeling dizzy. Things are intense, or I'm very hungry, or I'm not hungry at all. Like, just stuff is crazy. What's going on? So on top of all that astrological stuff, we are having some major solar storms right now. It started on the 16th, and it's going to end tomorrow, but then there will be after effects. But right now, what is actually happening, according to the space scientists, is that on the 13th of March, a coronal hole, which is canyon-shaped, opened up in the sun's atmosphere, and it threw a stream of high-speed solar wind, which is hot plasma, you know, bam, hurtling it at the Earth. Now, the Earth has a magnetic field around it that protects it from these coronal ejections. But sometimes they come so big and they travel so fast that it really does kind of put little holes or sometimes a big hole in our magnetic field. And that's what's going on right now. So what that means is, and, you know, they've done science around this, they found that what they call geomagnetic storms can have a huge effect on our emotional, mental, spiritual, and physical health. Peaks in increased anxiety, depression, bipolar disorder, fatigue, and nervousness have been found to coincide with solar activity. Solar storms can, you know, take out whole cities. That actually happened, and I forget the year. I think that might have been in 2012 or right before 2012 on the East Coast, Montreal. It started up in Canada and went down the east, a huge part of the East Coast, where the electric grid just got blown out, you know. So it's a really powerful energy. And because, you know, as human beings, we actually have an aura around us, right? So we have an electromagnetic field around our bodies. So when the Earth gets disrupted, we get disrupted too. And so if you have been feeling just a little crazy than normal, or, you know, just kind of feeling even nervous or anxious or feisty or, you know, kind of in a fight-flight mode. The solar wind is definitely contributing to that. Or if you've been feeling more emotional, irritable, spacey, stressed out, yeah, blame it on the sun and the sun's coronal masses. It's true. So here's what you can do to help with that. And I will post this on my, I think I already did. I already posted this on my Wisdom Walk Radio Facebook page because it's so important. So I did put the link on there. But here are some things that you can do. One is take a salt bath because that really does help to calm you down. It also pulls toxins out of our body because when we get riled up like that, you know, a lot of toxins are going to be spinning around. It says to avoid caffeine and alcohol. Spend time in nature. That always helps. Consume high vibrational foods such as fruit and vegetables. Breathe deeply. Do forgiveness, release, and surrender. And my favorite, practice kindness, compassion, acceptance, and empathy. Oh, and it also says, whenever possible, temporarily disconnect from technology and anything or anyone where the energy is toxic and draining. So that's always a good idea to do, even without the solar flare showing up. Anyway, I hope that information helps you so that you know that it's not just you. There really is a physiological thing going on. And so take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. Nurture yourself. Nurture yourself, very important. And drink lots of good water, spring water. If you come from some place like Portland, Oregon, you will have good tap water you can drink because it's filtered through volcanic ash. But most other places, you know, don't do the tap water. You're going to have to get yourself a higher vibrational water. But drinking water will really also help. So tonight I am going to give you two more insights from the movie Black Panther. I actually got a chance to see it again on Friday night with some dear friends, and that was really, really fun. And one of them is here now. I actually have an audience tonight. Woohoo! Miss Carmen Petrie. So grateful. Thank you, thank you. So I'm going to do an overview of the first three insights, give you two more, and then give you a personal challenge. And I found this really cool animal totem information about Black Panther that comes from a Native American woman who has a website called Native American Totems. And I believe her name, I'm not seeing it here, so I'm not going to say her name because I don't want to screw it up, but I will put this on my Wisdom Walk Radio page so that you can see it. But again, it's called Native American Totems, and if you look under Black Panther, you'll find this. And I just thought this, again, was just so really right on, and again, just another wonderful piece of synchronicity. Now, she sees Black Panther as a feminine spirit, as I think most indigenous and ancient wisdom would. We see cats as female, but of course there are male cats. So, but she's, you'll hear her say, Sister Panther. But I want to read this to you because I think it's that good and important. So she says, the totem or medicine of the Black Panther reminds us that darkness is a place for both seeking and finding answers. It is a place to accept healing. The darkness is a place for us to access the hidden light of truth. Through our dreams, Sister Panther teaches us to delve into the places within ourselves to find things in need of healing. Just as Black Panther, we must track the unfamiliar territory of self-discovery and be as fearless as she is in facing the unknown. If Black Panther is working with you as a totem, she may be telling you not to worry about the future. She could be reminding you that you need to trust that you are not supposed to, quote unquote, figure it out right now. It might be time for you to confront your fears of the unknown. Do you fear being less than you truly are? Are you frightened to just be yourself? Sister Panther says to let go of those fears because they are obstacles to your growth. Embrace your unknown and flow with the unfolding journey of your life. Then she goes on to say, when working with Black Panther, or should I say when she is working with us, we need to let go of the negative people and limiting thoughts. There is no reason to fear being alone. When we are out of balance, we have a tendency to allow the shadows to create demons of fear in us to guide you in the darkness. Snuggle into Black Panther's dark fur and let her guide you into the emptiness of the void. Do not let the shadows overcome you, but instead embrace the unknown and trust that what is coming is good and right for your personal journey. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. It's like, and after watching the movie again, it's like, yeah, 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 yeah. Like, this is like so, so cool. So last week I gave 3 insights after having read in Ted Andrews' Animal Speaks his description of panthers, including Black Panther, and the animal totem meaning was through him that this is a time for reclaiming one's true power. And it is a symbol of awakening to the heroic quest. And so it's this notion of, you know, something is about to grow in us. We're evolving to something more, you know. So Black Panther is a symbol of rebirth out of darkness and death and rebirth, growing into something greater, stronger, more beneficial. You know, this is the promise of the Black Panther. And my favorite message that Ted Andrews had as a part of this is that he said those things of childhood and beyond that created suffering and which caused a loss of innate power and creativity are about to be reawakened, confronted, and transmuted. Wow. My second insight was about how the Black Panther validates this nature year of change. Power is internal, and no more giving power away to anything outside of ourselves. Like, it's just not going to be a good day. And so that's one of the change things that the Black Panther is bringing to us. And, you know, Nature Year is made up of a focus on plants, animals, and humans. And so this animal totem coming through in this year and in February, as we talked about, the Black Moon Month, to bring us this awareness, to grow our awareness about the change, the important change that is coming. No more giving power away to anything or anyone outside of ourselves. And then last but not least, I talked about vibranium from Wakanda, symbolizing our inner genius. And just like, the vibranium comes from out of space on an asteroid and lands on the Earth, it gets embedded into the Earth. That's like us coming to the Earth plane as spiritual beings and having inside of us everything that we need in order to be here and to be genius, to have something that we do that is so important, so essential to life on the planet. And it's so important that we know and believe this so that we can mine that energy, mine that vibration, that vibranium. And we have to do this because we're supposed to share it. We're supposed to share our vibranium. And I just love that this movie, you know, is giving that message out, the importance of getting to our inner genius and sharing it. Very, very important. So tonight I want to continue to talk about this notion of reclaiming true power, that inner power. And what the movie illustrates so beautifully is that when we are ready to reclaim our true power, it involves healing ancestral wounds. So our lead character in the film, T'Challa, he is a king of the most technologically advanced countries on the planet, right? But his true power is in doing the right things to heal himself and others. It's about him pursuing redemption for the sins of the past. And, you know, the way the story is laid out, if it was just about him being a king, you know, that would get boring pretty quick, you know. It's not just about him being king. It's the kind of king he is. And again, it's about this journey that he has to go on to really claim his true power. Because all the technology he had access to could not protect him from the ancestral wound. And if I didn't mention before, there will be spoilers when I'm talking about this. But I'm trying to be mindful in case somebody, I can't imagine who, has not seen this movie yet. But the ancestral wound piece is so key to the story and so key to, I think, what really is so universal in this movie, meaning that anybody, black, white, blue, green, Chinese, Indian, Mexican, you know, coming from Norway or Sweden, anybody watching this film can identify, because we all have ancestral wounds that need healing. And so to watch how the wound shows up, and in this movie it literally shows up as Killmonger, to see how that shows up and what it does and how we engage with it, So when we talk about reclaiming true power, you know, true power is about being loving and compassionate. It's about being forgiving, understanding. It's about giving the benefit of the doubt. It's about peacemaking, generosity, kindness, sharing, being validating to someone, and joy making. That's what true power is. It's not trying to control someone. It's not being king of Wakanda. It's not having an accumulation of wealth in the form of material things. It's all those things I just said. Because this is what love is really about. Love is all of those things. And love is the most powerful force in the universe. And so, you know, I love in the movie that the first thing that happens when the ancestral wound shows up, when Killmonger, you know, shows up at the court of Wakanda, at first T'Challa doesn't want to tell the truth. You know, and his first way of engaging with the wound is to try and, you know, like, you know, bum rush it, because he's like, you know, you wouldn't be alive. The only reason why you're still alive is because I know who you are and I know what happened, but, you know, get out of here. You know, he tries to get rid of him, right? And it's not working. you know, because there's something that he gets that this wound is not just going to go away. There's no way. And so he, you know, really out of ego, decides that, okay, I'm going to fight you. You know, I'm going to fight this wound. And, of course, he loses because that's not how you deal with an ancestral wound. And in his losing, he has to go on a journey. He actually has to experience what we call a shamanic death. Something in him has to die in order to deal with this ancestral wound. And, again, the movie does a really great job of showing that and showing how through this, you know, dying process, he's able to confront his father in the land of the ancestors and say, no, what you did was wrong. It wasn't okay. It wasn't right. It's created a wound that is following me. You know, so it's like he by denying that child and killing your brother and keeping it all secret, it hasn't gone away. It's still walking around with a lot of kill scars on its chest. Yeah. And that's so important because the big message there is that our ancestral wounds are not just going to go away simply because they happened in the past, simply because we weren't there when they happened, simply because we never met the people that it happened to. None of that matters, you know. It's because it's an energy. It's an energetic. And until we're able to accept that and confront that pain in some way, shape, or form, then it will continue to follow us. And ultimately, that's what T'Challa has to do. He has to confront the pain, but this time not out of ego, but knowing that he has to find a way to heal it. And so if he has to go into battle with Killmonger in order to heal it, he's going to go into battle to do that. And the reason we know at the end of the movie that he has shifted is because of how he reacts when he does kill his cousin, and also how his cousin is reacting. Because his cousin doesn't kind of stay in an anger. He goes into a very vulnerable place and starts talking about, you know, basically wanting to see the sunset of Wakanda. And also T'Challa has gotten into being compassionate because he says to his cousin, we can save you. You know, you don't have to die. We can save you. But his cousin is clear that, you know, he's just not going to change his belief about taking over the world, and he doesn't want to be a prisoner. And so he says, just bury me with my ancestors that jumped over the boats coming across the Middle Passage. And so, you know, there's this kind of that happens in their relationship, even though the wound has to go away. But it affects T'Challa in a very positive way because at the end of the movie we see that he's ready to share his vibranium and share his genius and gifts from Wakanda with starting in Oakland, California. So, again, the message in this is that we all have these ancestral wounds and they're not going to just go away. Simply because we don't want to know about them or it has nothing to do with us, they will show themselves in some way, shape, or another. And, you know, the way the universe works is we can become conscious of them. We can know what wound is walking in our family, what wound is still asking, you know, still asking to be felt and released, felt and released. So the fifth insight that I want to share with you about the movie has to do with how the consequences of neglect, the consequences of neglect, and especially neglect of those in need. The character of Killmonger, you know, he, of course, is the product of having lost his father. He's a product of deep trauma. Yeah, because, you know, one thing that doesn't get mentioned in the movie, but we understand, is that when his father died, he probably got put into foster care. And he happens to be very brilliant, so he makes his way into MIT, and then he becomes like a worse than a Navy SEAL. But it's this whole notion of how neglect, the impact of neglect, that it finds a way to hurt back. It finds a way to transfer its pain. And so I think such an important message from the film is about that. It's about neglect. And in this case, in the film, it's about neglect of a child, but it's really about neglecting responsibilities that we have within ourselves, neglecting even taking care of ourselves. There will be consequences that grow out of that. Or if we neglect our purpose in life, you know, I know some people who have an awareness of what their purpose is, and these are people who are in my healing community. They have an awareness of what their purpose is, but boy, do they just keep trying not to do it, keep out of it. And so, like, they're neglecting their gifts, they're neglecting their purpose, and it doesn't have good consequences, not at all. And I think that that's such an important message that comes through in this film, and especially for the times we live in. It's so important for us to know that what we neglect, you know, there will be consequences. And so back to the school violence, I think about that. I think about these young people who go into these schools with guns and are shooting, killing people up. They've been neglected in some way, and maybe in many ways, but they've been neglected. And so, you know, that to me is a real example of what happens when we don't take care. And so, again, I think it starts with ourselves personally, because if you are neglectful of your own self, it's going to be really easy to be neglectful of others. So, again, what a really important and powerful insight that this movie gives to us in such a very powerful way. And again, like I said, I think it's another universal theme in this movie that is why so many people are attracted to it, so many people watch it, and so many people think it's so good. So personal challenge for this week. Last week, I asked you to contemplate what was being reborn and reclaimed within you and how it's being demonstrated in your life today. Now, this week, I want you to think about what is the ancestral wound that you would like to heal? What is the one thing you can do this week to begin that process? Now, if you don't know what the ancestral wound is, just look around in your family at the persons who find it most difficult to live their lives, whether that is illness, whether that is drug abuse, whether that is, constantly being in poverty, never having enough money, You know, who's struggling? Who's struggling in your family? Because those are the people who are walking the womb. That's their job. Their job is to bring the message that, guess what, folks? We got some really big pain here. And so that's how you can get an indication of what the wound is. And think about one thing that you could do this week to begin to heal that wound. And it's not about the family wound walker. It's not about doing something for them. I'm talking about what can you do with you to help heal that wound. Stay focused on yourself. Stay focused on yourself. Wow, we have come to the end of the show with so much astrological and astronomical solar flares and stuff going on. It's just been a really, really, really full week. And next week, I think, you know, we'll need to really focus on peace because I think it's going to continue. Like I said, there'll be aftermath to those solar flares. So I want to first do a shout out to my wonderful engineer, Miss Yvette Parker. And I thank her and her entire family for their continued support of my work. I wouldn't be able to do it without them. Blessings to Brother Forrest as he continues to not neglect his health, but to really focus on his health and get himself stronger and better. I also want to shout out to all my regular listeners, especially Miss Sarah, and wishing and sending her lots of love over the airwaves. I want to thank my audience, Ms. Carmen Petrie, for holding space for me so beautifully as she does and for being such a great host to me when I'm here in Milwaukee. I couldn't come back and do this work without her. And to all of those who have wisdom walked with me, and you know who you are, to my family, my spiritual kin, my transformational leadership colleagues, my medicine brothers and sisters, Asu and Ina, and all those around the world who are doing just really, really great, great transformative work. It's just amazing. And, of course, to those who are listening in for the first time, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Again, I couldn't do this work without your listenership. Next week, again, I will observe the holy day of Easter, so I will not be doing a live broadcast, but I will return to live broadcast on Sunday, April 8th. And last but not least, I would like to thank my God, my ancestors, my spirit guides, my loving entities, everything that walks with me, keeps my head to the sky, my feet to the ground, and my heart open to do this important work with and for all of you. Have a fabulous water peacemaking week. And for those of you who honor the Easter season, happy Easter, happy Resurrection Day, and remember that you are not disposable, as these young people marched over the weekend to prove you are divine. Good night now.